Hello, hello, everyone. This is your girl, Toya, the game changer, aka The Real. And I am on with my girl, Shawn, Shondalette, the doctor. How you doing, honey?
Hello, 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 everybody.
I'm y'all, doing well. That's good. That's good. That's good, y'all. When I tell you I had to press my weight today, I've been having a trying week this week, you guys. I know I'm not the only one. If you've been having a trying week this week and you need a little extra to push through, comment in the comments to let me know how you feeling, what you've been going through. But you guys, we're going to push our way anyhow because it's not about us. Because we have some people that really, really have been tuning in and they look forward to the messages that we've been giving so far. And we thank you. We appreciate you for tuning in, even if you've been catching the recordings. The series we've been dealing with lately is called Unforgiveness. And I have been sharing my stories. I have many stories, but I've only shared one so far regarding how I was betrayed. And it kept me stuck. I was stuck in unforgiveness. I was stuck in, first of all, not wanting to forgive. I knew I had to, but I didn't want to. And not only that, I not want to, I didn't know how. Because when I was betrayed, that deeply hurt like that, I didn't know how to forgive. And so we're simply here just showing you, you know, certain things that could kind of get you stuck in unforgiveness. And then we're going to transition into how you can actually forgive and not just somebody saying, oh, pray about it, or just just forgive and that's it. No, we need to steps, because this is a real thing that we're dealing with and a lot of people get stuck with. So without further ado, I'm gonna turn it over to Shawn. And again, if you guys have any questions, comments, or concern, please feel free to comment. Y'all talk back to us so we won't, you know, feel like we're on here by ourselves talking to ourselves. We need to know. We need to have that interaction with you to let us know that, you know, this has been helpful to you, you know. So we're coming here every week, committed, dedicated, sharing our personal experiences that was traumatizing to us. We're telling it to the world because now we understand that the assignment is greater than us. It's greater than, you know, what we endured or how we feel is bigger than that. You know, we have so many people that are struggling, for real life struggling in staying, and it's causing depression, it's causing mental illness, it's causing people not to have a prosperous life, it's causing people to have unforgiveness in their heart, and it's causing them to not have their prayers answered. Because if you have unforgiveness, God is not gonna, he's not gonna answer your prayers if you are holding all of this in your heart against somebody else. You got to release that thing. And we're going to show you how to release it. Now, the disclaimer is we're not certified anything. Certified counselors, you know, we're not licensed counselors to tell you exactly about how you overcome this and how you overcome that. We're just two people that came together that we know we're called by God, and we're just simply pouring out our hearts, pouring out our experiences to be a blessing to somebody else, the same way God has favored us and allowed us to get through the things that we've been going
right
through.
Right.
So I'm going to pass it over to Shawn.
So I agree, Toya. We do appreciate the encouragement, you guys. It just lets us know that we're on the right path and we're actually helping you guys. Even if it's just one person that we reach, then we feel like we've served our purpose, but we want to reach many. We're here for you, and we're just sharing these experiences, and we're going to go through all of this together. You know, we feed off of you guys, you feed off of us. It's reciprocal. So, I mean, Toya, I can remember there was a season that it seemed like I went through one battle after another. It seemed like as soon as I cleared one hurdle, then here came an even higher hurdle. Yeah. So I became at that point married to the pain, because it was consistent. It was constant. I knew it was going to show up. If nothing else came, I knew pain was going to be there. So I became married to it, and I wasn't about to divorce it. not for anything, because it was familiar to me. And what's familiar to us is comfortable for us. What's not familiar to us is uncomfortable and it's intimidating. So we don't really want to step outside of our comfort zone because it's new. I've never experienced it. I don't know what to do with it. So in instances where I thought I found true joy, I would sabotage and talk myself out of it with negativity. Oh, nothing good ever happens to me. This too good to be true. Know those words? You heard those words before? It's too good to be true. Oh, well, who are you, baby? Who aren't you the same person that walks around saying you're the child of a king and my father has all things and can do all things? Aren't you that same person? So why don't you feel like you deserve that? You know, why don't you feel that that's something that you deserve? But anyway, I came to a place where, yeah, I did. I held on to the pain. It was easier for me to do that. So eventually, I came to a place where the bad started to outweigh the good because of my perspective and how I view things. So the bad started to outweigh the good. And it got so bad, I got to the point where I would actually pray and ask God, take me tonight. Let this be the night. I don't want to wake up. Waking up to me was no longer a blessing, but a curse. I didn't feel like I had the strength to make it through another day. I couldn't go through not one more thing. I felt like I was going to lose my mind. I was going to go through one more thing. It was going to be the straw that broke the camel's back. You see what I'm saying? Because when people take things from you, it leaves you feeling violated. You see what I'm saying? It leaves you feeling vulnerable. And what I never could understand is why a person would awaken something in you that they never had any intentions of nurturing. Why would they come and disturb your peace? You see what I'm saying? I'm at peace. I'm happy. I just got over this little relationship. I just got over, you know, this situation that I was in. Why would you come and rob me of my peace, of my joy? You see what I'm saying? When I'm giving things to you freely that you don't even have, that you don't even want. You see, I'm loving you freely. You see what I'm saying? I'm committed to you freely. All these things I'm giving to you free, but you would rather take from me the things that are not for sale. Now, at that point, you're just a common thief. Why would you rob me of my peace? And then where the unforgiveness comes in at with ourselves is I felt like, oh, I let him take that from me. I just gave him my peace. You have no control over what these people come into your life to do. Sometimes it's premeditated and sometimes they just come in with their own purpose and plan. And we never know, you know, what the purpose of that person in our life is, but we can't immediately start saying, oh, okay, I saw it coming because don't nothing good happen to me. Why would I even think that something good was going to come out of that? No, that's not where we want to be. You see what I'm saying? So I just feel like, you know, it leaves us in an unproductive place. We get stuck there. And for me, I think the worst part of it all is the emotional hijacking. And when I say that, it's more so like, for instance, I'll give you I'll share a story with you, a quick testimony. So I was in a very abusive relationship for over 10 years, very abusive. And when I say abusive, I don't mean a little tap. I mean, this man beat me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Wow. If I said, if I did, if I breathed too hard, if I did anything outside of what he wanted me to do, and usually it was simply because I would say, I deserve better. I want to move on, because he was doing what he wanted to do. He was cheating. He was doing all of the above. And I just wanted to be free from the situation. And I felt at one point in time, the only way I was going to be free was if I died. And at one point, my family started to say, my grandmother actually told my mom, this came to me later on. She said, I'm going to just go ahead and buy my black dress because he ain't going to stop till he kill her. And my mom said, let's rebuke that. I reject that. He's not going to kill my child. But that's just how bad it had gotten, to where they were tired of coming, seeing me in the state that I was in. My friends were tired of coming to the hospital, seeing me, to where they couldn't recognize who I was. You knew, with broken ribs and black eyes and bust lips. And you know what I'm saying? So it came to a place where we were at the house and we were with his friends, and he started to beat me in front of them, and nobody said anything until the beating lasted for what seemed like an hour to me, but probably was about a good 5 to 10 minutes. And when he started to stump me while I was carrying his child, his friend finally caught up and said, okay, enough is enough. You know, and so after that, I ended up in the hospital. I lost that baby, had to have a blood transfusion. I can go on and on with the story, but I'm going to just stop that story there. But just know that whenever I was with him, I walked with my head down. I never made eye contact with anybody. You know why? Because if he caught me making eye contact with somebody or glancing at somebody, or if he perceived it to be, he would beat me. You know why? Because he would say, I wanted that attention from somebody else. And he would confront that person and he would just make a scene. So I was programmed to walk with my head down, you know. But when I got to a place to where I was free from him, then guess what? The physical scars, they were gone. I forgot about them. The mental scars were no longer there. I walk with my head up when I'm in a room now. You would never know that I was the same person from 20 years ago. You know why? Because God delivered me. He changed my mindset. You see what I'm saying? I'm no longer stuck in that same situation. You know, so it's easy for us to get stuck in situations. So I gave you that example to say that was an example of physical and mental abuse. You see? So let's move back to 5 years ago when I was dating another guy. So at the time, I did not know that this guy was a narcissist. And he made me believe that everything was my fault. It was always something I was doing. He had me questioning myself. Am I bringing all that baggage? Oh, you ain't here. You still going through. And I'm like, I know God has healed me. I know I'm delivered. Like, I don't even deal with that same issue. But if a person gaslights you, and if you don't know what gaslighting is, then look it up. And that's just when they called you to question who you are, to question your beliefs, to question, you know, the things that you think to be true. So, you know, I was like, what in the world is going on here? Is it me? Not only did he cause me to question myself, but my family started saying, Sean, you need to go get some help because he's not lying on you. I know this sounds like you and this. And so everybody, they had me believing it was me. So that's a form of emotional abuse. When I tell you the things that I endured with this man emotionally stuck with me far longer than the physical abuse did. When I tell you that it is a real thing, emotional abuse is a real thing. And so now I'm in a place to where I have to be delivered and free and healed all over again, you see. But this time he did more damage because he caused me to question who I was. You see what I'm saying? And I kept saying, oh, it has to be me. He caused me to question my character, my sanity, everything. And I sunk to the lowest place that I'd ever been in life because not only did I have him gaslighting me, I had other issues going on. I had a strained relationship with my mother. We couldn't be in the same room at the same time because I was holding on to what she had done me and the things that she allowed to happen to me as a child because I had never confronted those things. I had never dealt with them. I felt like if I kept them suppressed, then that means I didn't have to deal with them. But mainly because the same people that those situations involved were still in my life. And so it was uncomfortable and it was awkward to have to bring that up. And those people were still around. You see what I'm saying? So I got to a place to where it was just too much. The broken relationship with my family, the broken relationship with the guy that I was in at the time, everything was coming all at one time. And I felt like it's overwhelming. I can't take another thing, you know? So let's talk about the how
of unforgiveness. Sean, before you get into the how, I want, because you said some powerful things, and I believe right now that there's somebody watching now, somebody that's going to be watching the replay that is in that situation that you were in. So where they're in an abusive relationship right now, they're dealing with the physical abuse, they're dealing with the emotional abuse, and you said that you were programmed, you know, to the point where this person literally had your mind programmed to the point where he stripped away your confidence. He stripped away your self-esteem, and you didn't want, you knew the whipping that was coming to you based off of his insecurities that he betrayed on you, that caused you to be insecure in who you were. But yet you say you were able to get out of that relationship, and then you got into another one that was a familiar spirit. It was a different face, but a familiar spirit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you thought you healed and delivered from that first one. How did you get out of that when you've tried to get out and he would always put you in the hospital? Somebody needs to hear how to get out.
So that story is a very, I could write, matter of fact, I am in the process of writing a book on that story. So I was trying not to give too many details, because you have to get the book and read it for yourself. So I was trying not to give too many details. But he did the projection. That's called projecting. Whatever they're doing, they try to say it's you, you're doing this, because they're projecting, they're putting the things off on you. And yes, he had me in a place where I was very insecure. And I followed everything he said to do, because Toya, I'm saying, if I wore something that he thought was not befitting, if it was too tight, he would bleach all my clothes, he would cut them up. You know, I was totally programmed to think that I could never come out of this. You know why? Because when I would call the police, they didn't come for me. They don't have anything in place for you when you're going through the situation. It's for after he kills you, then we're gonna get him. You see, basically, because I remember one time calling them saying, oh my God, you know, he's here. I'm afraid this, that, and the other. And they told me, if you call us again, we're gonna come arrest you. And I said, me? Why me? Because they felt as if I was allowing him to come around, but they didn't see when he was kicking my door in, busting my window, snatching me out of my car at a stop sign, you know, climbing into my windows and, you know, doing whatever he had to do. They didn't see that part. You see what I'm saying? I literally was on my way home one day, and I got to the point to where I would call somebody and tell them, hey, I'm on my way home. So then they would call me and see if I made it in and whatever. And I was on my way. I was getting in the door at the time, and I was trying to put the key in the door, you know, whatever. And I saw the headlights coming up the street, and I knew what time it was. What do you do with a person like that? What do you do with a person who's already told you that they have nothing to live for? So they don't mind at any time taking your life or theirs. What do you do with something like that? You see, I've said every prayer that I can say, and if it was not for the blood, because nobody else was protecting me at this time, if it had not been for the blood, I assure you that my life would have been over many times now. But the way I was able to get out of that for you, though, the day I was speaking of when he stomped me in front of his friends, and I was 3 months pregnant at the time, and I ended up having a miscarriage. Well, he got spooked. And he took me to Mississippi because I had gotten to a phone and I called my cousin and I was like, you know, I told her the situation and she was on her way. And I can see her when she was coming in. We were leaving out, missed her just by that much. And he took me to Mississippi. And the way I knew that, because I would sit in the passenger seat, I would try to get to the back. But if I tried to get to the back, then he would reach back there or he would stop the car and he would commence to beat me or pound my head against the window, you know. And as to not get a beating, I would just sit in the front seat to the side, pressed against the window, so maybe he couldn't get to me, you know. And I remember a policeman being on the side of us at a red light. And all I wanted to do was turn my head and say help or beat on the window. If I had jumped out the car, that man could have saved me, I thought in my mind. But I was so programmed to think that he's going to kill me if I do that. You see? So I just stared blankly at the window, hoping that he would look at my eyes blinking, the policeman. But he never did, you know? And so at that point, I said, God, I need you to save me. It's either me or him. I have children to live for. And so what he did was he took me into the woods, in the middle of the woods, and he handcuffed me there. Now, mind you, I'm bloody, I'm in torn clothes. He handcuffed me to an old tractor in the woods, and he left me there all night long. And before he left, he took the gun, I guess. There's no way I could get out of these handcuffs. But he took a gun and he put a bullet in and he spent it. And he played Russian roulette with me. And he said, I guess it's not your time to die. By that time, I was frantic and I was out of my mind. And he said, snakes smell blood, so maybe they'll get to you before I get back to you. He came that morning. He left me there all night in the middle of the woods. I was in Tunica, Louisiana. I didn't know where I was at the time. But now I later found out I was in Tunica, Louisiana. He came back that following morning to get me. And by that time, I was hysterical. And he took me to Mississippi. Mind you, I had a miscarriage because he had just stumped me and beat me. So I had been bleeding all night long. So he told his sister to take me to a backwood doctor in Mississippi who told me I passed everything. So fast forward to the story. The next day, I went to the hospital. I was able to get myself to the hospital. And I ended up having a blood transfusion. And the first thing he told me was, the doctor told me if I would have stopped at the red light with you, because I ended up having to call him to get me to the hospital. I was actually at work. I took myself to work and he came, got me from there. And he said, if I would have stopped at the red light with you, you wouldn't have made it. If I would have had insurance on you, you would be a dead, you know what? And at that point I said, he's not gonna stop till he kill me. So I got a restraining order and I moved away to Alabama. So when we were in court, the judge ended up putting him in jail for 6 months because I wouldn't testify. I would just stand there because, once again, I'm programmed to think that he's going to kill me if I say anything. So she said, Miss Nelson, you got to tell me something or there's nothing I can do to help you. And I just stood there looking at her. Deputy, sheriff, judge, I wouldn't do it. I still was programmed to think, no, he's gonna kill me. Y'all can't help me. Y'all can't protect me, you know? So she put him in jail for 6 months. I moved to Alabama. Long story short, he got out of jail early and found me in Alabama. But that's a story. That's a story for another day. But
it's getting good. It's been good. Hold on, y'all. I'm over here going through. I'm going through an emotional roller coaster because this is my friend, and the friend in me is ready to go kill him. And at the same time, I'm hurting for her, but I can relate because I had a similar situation, you know. So you can relate to it, and your heart just cry out.
Just goes out for that person because you know what they're going through.
Yeah, man. So, and Sean, just stop right there. Just stop right there because, wow. We just need to talk, like, for real, y'all. If you know somebody that's dealing with this, share this right now. It's not about you. If you're dealing with it, I need you to comment. I need you to get in our inbox. We need to get you help because at the end of the day, you do not know what a person is dealing with, y'all. This is demons we're dealing with right now. And these demons will kill you at the drop of a dime because the demons is working on the inside of that person. I know that person look like, you know, they just a regular human in flesh, but these are real life demons that are in people that causes these people to react like this, y'all. So don't think you gonna pray your way out. I mean, prayer is good, but you better pack and pray. We gotta use wisdom. Don't think
prayer's not gonna be the final solution, I assure you.
No,
it's not the thing that's going to carry you through, but there has to be some steps of action. You have got to have a plan, and you have got to recognize the spirit in these people. It is funny that you say a spirit to you, because actually one time there was this one situation to where he had a cousin at the time who's passed on now, but back in prayer, that's right, his cousin's passed on now, but his cousin was with him one night. And I would run. I didn't want to bring anybody into the situation because I feared for their life. But at the same time, I had to find a safe place, at least for one night, you know. And so I went to some relative's house in Greeley, Louisiana, whatever. And I remember him hearing the doorbell ring at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and something in me just butterflies all over. And I knew it was him. They had hit my car. He had never been to these people's house. And so she came to me and she said, "Anthony's out there. He's out there. I want to say his name. He's out there." And I was like, "Oh my God." And so I was so afraid that he would do something to them for trying to protect me. I went out there, I surrendered, and his cousin was with him. And then I said, "How did y'all find me?" He said, "Sean, I've never seen this look in his eyes before. We've been looking for you for 4 days straight. He hasn't eaten. He hasn't showered. He hasn't done anything, but I have to tell him, take me home, man, take me home. He's obsessed. He is obsessed over finding you for the last 4 days. And we've driven everywhere from, he thought I was in Maryland, from Maryland to Lafayette, to Port Allen, Baton Rouge, to Hammond. We've driven everywhere. And by some miracle, we found you here." I said, "Why won't you help me? Like, why didn't you call the police at that time?" So, you know, everybody around him is afraid of what he may do, but nobody's helping me. Who is going to help me? And so that day, I'm not even going to mention what he did to me that day, but just know that, you know, it wasn't pretty. We'll get to that story next. But and so I knew I had it coming because of the look in his eye. When I looked at him, I didn't see anything in his eyes but the devil. I saw the devil in his eyes. When I tell you, his eyes were red as fire. And I said, "My God, what am I dealing with at this point? I'm not even dealing with a person." You know, it was scary. I don't know how I made it through that situation, other than I can say the grace of God and people praying for me. Because at that point and at that time, I wasn't strong enough to do anything for myself. I needed someone around me praying for me to pull me through. But I also used wisdom, and I got a gun. I ended up getting a gun, you know. But my aunt told me, she said, "If you pull it, you better be prepared to use it. If you pull it, be prepared to use it." And at that point, I said, "You know what? I'm going to have to, it's either me or him at this point. It's either me or him." And I'll tell you a quick funny story before we move forward. My friend, you also got to be careful who you allow to give you advice and who you choose to take wisdom from. Because one of my friends, and I was desperate at the time, I was like, "You guys, he's going to kill me." And everybody around me knew, like, "This boy's going to kill you." Like, everybody's afraid, you know. And she said, "This is what you do. When he goes to bed tonight, you boil some grits and you
throw them hot grits on."
You boil some grits. And I'm not going to tell you a story. I thought I was bold enough to do it. And he fell asleep. And evil does not sleep. When I tell you evil does not sleep, I don't know when this man slept, but evil does not. And we didn't live together, but he would always wait till I went to sleep before he left my house. Never understood that. But, you know, so I went to boil, I tipped out the day, I went to go boil some grits, and he came creeping in the kitchen. And I said, I was startled, you know, and he said, "You better eat every grit in that pot."
Wow.
The one time that I was going to get my revenge. So I hurried up and dumped the grits down the sink. So I wouldn't be on the receiving end of the grits. But yeah, when I tell you, that was a long, tedious process. But you guys, I mean, hear me and hear me good. Wow. If you are in that situation, if you're in anything remote, let me tell you how it started. Because it didn't start with him beating me and blacking my eye. It didn't start like that. It started with him grabbing my arm. You see? It started with him just grabbing my arm. It started with him just, you know, playing like he's going to pop me in my mouth and things like that. And I'm like, "I don't do that," you know, saying stuff like that. It started with those little things, those little signs. And then all of a sudden him shaking me one day and then slapping me. And then it emerged to other things. You beating me down with your fist like a man. At the time, I'm 120 pounds. You're 200 pounds, sir. You know,
Wow. We had a question. One of the questions were, what could your family and friends have done sooner to, you know, help you get out of that situation?
Okay, well, first is what I could have done. Because initially, I was hiding the things that he was doing to me. You know, I was hiding black eyes, I was hiding bust lips, and I wouldn't go around and I would make excuses, you know. But when they started recognizing the sign, the signs were, I couldn't go anywhere with them. You know, they were always saying, oh, you're a homebody, you don't ever want to go. Oh, you are your nose open behind this boy and this, that, and the other, you know.
Isolation.
And my family, when I would go around them, if I had a black eye or if my lip was bust or my ribs were fractured or something like that, had a broken nose, you know, my mom told me one day, she was like, if you're on drugs, just tell me. I can get you help, because I would always, you know, cover my eyes, cover my mouth, fidgeting, you know, doing things like that. She says, you know, Coretta, she was asking my aunt, Coretta, don't you think Sean's on drugs? Something's going on with her. And my aunt was like, yeah, baby. Like, you're acting so strange. What's going on with you? Like, if you're on drugs, we can help you. Wasn't on drugs. I was just nervous. I was fidgeting, and I was trying to hide black eyes with my hair. But Liz didn't want them to see me and doing things like this, you know, because I was trying to hide it. Because, number one, I was in denial about the fact that I was really being abused. I was really in a real life situation of domestic violence. I was being beaten by a man each and every day. And then my coworkers who were there to see it up close, because I would go to work every day and something would be wrong every day. Or if I wasn't limping or bent over in pain, I would have a physical sign. And when they start saying, oh no, oh, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do it, la 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 la, were from New Orleans, and they were like, oh, we're gonna do this. And I would say, no, because whatever you do to him, he's gonna do to me, you know, or whatever. But I think if they would have come together and involved, if my friends would have involved my family and said, hey, we saw him do this to her, you guys need to get her some help, you know, I think if they would have come up with an action plan, or if they would have been more adamant about and persistent about, yeah, Sean, something's not right with you. If they wouldn't have just brushed it off like, oh, okay, yeah, you all in love, you all in with that boy. If they wouldn't have brushed it off, I think we probably would have addressed the situation sooner. And then too, I didn't have a close relationship with my mother or my father at the time, not to mention. So he had kind of isolated me from everybody. That's what an abuser does. He isolates you. Anyway, so those people don't see the signs, and those people aren't able to, you know, give you like a voice or be the voice of reason for you. Like, hey, look, let me get in your ear and tell you this. Hey, you don't deserve that. You know, you can do better, and this is not right. Something's not right. You know, they isolate you. So I kind of was not in a place to where, you know, I was close with anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say to somebody that's listening right now, one, the message is, if you're in this situation and you are embarrassed, you're afraid, you can't believe it's you, you need to do whatever in your power to get out. Just be bold and courageous that one time. Put in, especially if you have kids, it's either I'm gonna live for my kids, or I'm going to die for this man. And if you put it all female, and if you put that person above God, you and your kids, then that's truly a sad situation. So just think about that. And also for the family and friends, if you see somebody acting suspicious, it's okay. Get in their business. We in a society right now, oh, that's their business. That's them people's business. I won't get in their business. No. Get in their business. I don't care. They're going to reject you. They might shut you out. They might have an attitude. But get in their business, because you may be saving somebody's life. And they're not going to be bold enough to come and tell you, hey, I'm in this situation, this man whipping my butt, or this woman whipping my butt every night.
They're not going to say it.
So be in their business, get in their business, you know, to make sure that this person is not in an abusive relationship. And my heart is just so just open for people that's in this relationship right now of abuse. And I know we're dealing on a series of unforgiveness, and the reason why she went into her story and the reason why I went into my story last week was because these are some of the people you in bondage when it comes to unforgiveness. I mean, after listening to that story, how many of you like me over here, if you got any type of human, you know, feelings or emotions in you, it's going to be angry. It's going to make you sad. It's going to make you be like, oh, that's a coward and I'll hurt you. You know what I'll do to cowards and stuff like that, because that's a normal feeling. So it's okay to feel angry. But what is not okay to be is allow the person. Like I said, it's a deep, it's a spirit inside of that person. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You see what I'm saying? We wrestling against, you know, the principalities and darkness and demons, right, of higher places, higher than just the person that you see. At the same time, that's how you can get caught up into the emotional roller coaster, because at one point, you know, you love this person and you feel like, oh, you could love this person until they change. You could pray for this person until they change. Or if I pray a little bit harder, if I change me, you know, then they'll change. No, you don't have the power to change anybody.
You don't have the power.
You can only manage yourself. You can only manage yourself, and the management of yourself comes from the power of Christ if you accept him and if you allow him and if you allow yourself to be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, for one. And so my thing is, if you are in this situation right now and you are embarrassed, guess what? You could get in our inbox. If you have my phone number, call me, text me. We're going to get you help, because this is a spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual fight. People are battling mentally. People are prisoners in their own homes each and every day, and they got to fake the phone. You guys have tuned into Roots Hope, and I'm going to pray for everybody that is in this situation right now, because as you can see on the news, there are more killings by what? Domestic violence. You got more people getting shot down, more people getting abused each and every day. Children, even the children are watching their parents fighting and arguing. They're watching their mothers getting stumped and beat down, and now their kids are being raised up with this spirit of anger, this spirit of lashing out, and you wondering why we got so many kids that's untamed. You wondering why you got so many kids that have no respect for a person. You wondering why you got so many kids that feel like, I don't have nothing to live for. I could shoot you today or tomorrow, and I don't care, because I really don't care about my own life. Because they've watched certain things. They've never had nobody to instill that love. And you cannot say that you love your kids, but yet allow yourself to be unloved in an unlovable situation in front of your kids. That's teaching them.
Okay, Toya, before you go any further, Let me hit on that, because that's absolutely correct. Because I remember watching my mom as a kid go through an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. But the only example that I did not get from her is how to leave, how to remove yourself from the situation, what to do. So that's why I think I stayed, because remember, I was with this guy for almost 10 years on and off. I think that's why I stayed in the situation as long as I did, because I didn't know how to leave. I had seen it before, but that's the only part that I saw. I didn't see the end result, but I knew that I didn't want that cycle to continue for my children. And to this day, which, you know, thank God, they were not as exposed to the beatings for whatever reason. You know, we would do it behind closed doors or whatever, but they did see one or two arguments. And to this day, they remember that. Mama, I remember when I saw you. You know, they can still tell the story. And they were like 3 and 4, 4 and 5 at the time. when that situation happened. But I thank God for giving me the strength that I needed to leave, to show them, hey, that wasn't healthy. That I got away from that situation because he wasn't right and sick in his mind. That wasn't healthy. And I was never supposed to be there, you know. So that's very important.
Your children are watching.
And don't ever, if your friend or someone you know is going through the situation, don't ever leave with, you're crazy. I could never. Mm-hmm. Don't ever leave the conversation with that. That's not helping. Just encourage them, uplift them, persuade them, tell them that they are strong. They can do this. There is life after this. Let me help you figure out the plan. Where you gonna stay? You know what? Let's move. Hey, do you have to get a new job? Because he knows where you work. He knows where you live. Like, let's get a real plan together. I don't need you coming at me just stating the obvious. Oh, you don't need this. Oh, you sound crazy. You stupid. I could never, because I would do. That's not what we need. You need to uplift them and encourage them. Let's get some real, let's get a real plan mapped out here. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do A, B, C, and this is how we're going to do it. You see? But,
Right. Yeah. I know this conversation, you know, is real talk, and it's a real conversation. It can be hurtful, but at the same time, these are the type of conversations we need to have, y'all, so people can get true deliverance and true healing, you know, because they got rejected from the family. The family just feel like, oh, she acting funny, or like you say, Sean, oh, she running behind a man. She stuck up behind a man. She ain't got time for us. And so the family and the friends that actually catch an attitude with you, not knowing that you see your brains beat out every night, but they so stuck up with their own personal feelings, so they'll have attitude with you, be like, oh girl, I don't talk to her no more because she got an attitude, she stuck up, she running behind this man and all this, not knowing, so insensitive to not hear the silent cries, so insensitive to not see the busted eyes or the bruises. You see what I'm saying? Because they're too busy in their feelings, you know.
I want to be with my friends. I wanted to go out. I was missing out on life. I missed out on my whole life. They're out traveling, going on trips, going out to eat together. Don't y'all think I want to be a part of that? I do indeed. But you know, it was, and then once you know, they take offense to it, like, oh, okay, you left your friends for this man. Once they take offense to it, then they start distancing themselves from you anyway, which is exactly what he wants. Which is exactly what they want. They want to control. They want to manipulate. They want to gaslight. But
they want to isolate you. That's the signs. Isolation, verbal abuse. You know, it may not start off physical. It always start off good, sweet, Casanova, baby. You know,
it never starts off physical. It always starts out mental. They always get in your mind first. It never starts out with just a hit. It's mental first. Exactly. They always brainwash you first.
Exactly. And you know, and that's how the enemy do. The enemy will take certain things that we've experienced that's hurtful to us, and he would pound on that and allow you to focus on that, to where you're only zoned in on that offense and not the big picture. And so one thing on top of another thing on top of another thing, now you got hurt on top of hurt. And guess what? Hurt people. So I can assure you, a person that's abusive, a person that's a bully, a person that is verbal abusive, mentally abusive, emotionally abusive, I can assure you that they've been hurt in their past, or they've been hurt in their childhood, and nobody showed them how to
deal. They have not healed.
Now they are projecting that hurt on top of you, causing you to be hurt. And if you don't break that cycle, if you don't break that curse, guess what? It's going to trickle down and trickle down to your next relationship, or your kids, or your family, or whomever that's closest to you, because you always attack the people that's closest to you all the time. But this is our time, y'all. We are going to continue on next Tuesday. Please share this. Please tune into our social media platforms. Tune into the podcast. Make sure that you share this to people that you know need to hear this. We're getting down and dirty. If you enjoyed this, please let us know that you did. If we helped you, let us know that we've helped you. And of course, I'm going to close out in prayer. because we do not want to take anything for granted. We do not want to take the person that's on the receiving end watching this is in this situation right now and crying out for help, but just too ashamed, too embarrassed, feel like they have nobody. They have nobody, you know, because they feel like everybody rejected them and they're in this thing alone. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. Father God, we come to you. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord God. We thank you for using us as your vessels, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you could have called us, but you didn't. We were chosen, Father God, for a time such as this, Jesus. God, we're not here on here to worry about what we've been through in the past, what we're going through now. We're not on here worrying about who's looking at us. You know, is our hair good? Is our makeup all good together? No, Father God, we have souls that need to be saved, Father God. And right now, it is not about us, Jesus. It's not about the things that we feel like doing, because if the truth be told, I didn't feel like getting on here tonight, but I do know that somebody needs to be delivered, Lord God, and I'm asking you right now that you would console them, God, that you would breathe life into their nostrils, that you would give them the strength and the tenacity that they need to continue to push forward. Lord Jesus, allow them to take one foot and place it in front of the other, and even if they stumble and fall, that they get a little bit more life on the inside, that they put another foot in front of the other, and before you know it, they've walked a mile, and before you know but they've walked completely out of that situation, Lord God. And I'm asking you right now that you would arrest the perpetrator, Father God, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, Father God. Send a spirit of conviction up over them right now, Father God, and that they would come unto you, Father God, asking how they can repent and turn from their evil and wicked ways, Father God. I'm asking for healing over their lives, Father God, because I do know that hurt people, Father God. I'm asking for the generational cycle to be broken in the name of Jesus. And devil, we come to serve you. Notice, we come to serve you that you thought you had your hands on them. You thought that you were going to kill them. You thought that you were going to take them out. But you are a dirty liar. And we come to break your assignment and cancel it and send it back to the pits of hell of which it came. You have no power, no dominion, and no authority over none of God's children in the name of Jesus. And if you have strayed away, God is married to the backslider, and he would never give you a divorce. Don't worry about what you've been through. Don't worry about what you're currently going through. Guess what? God loves you the way you are. He loves you broken. He loves you burden. He loves you when you messed up. He loves you with an agape love. And that's a love that surpasses all types of love. It loves without conditions. He loves you unconditionally. Nobody can be given agape love. But we just thank you, Lord God, that you are releasing and letting loose of somebody that has been bound and shackled and chained, that they feel like they can no longer be freed from. Devil, you are a liar. And God, we thank you that they're going to come on our channel and tell their testimony. We thank you, Father God, that even right now, that their lives are being transitioned, Father God, and they're going to ask, what can I do to be saved in the name of Jesus? What can I do to be healed? What can I do to be delivered? Tonight is the night you shall be free. You shall be made whole in the name of Jesus. We thank you.
In Jesus' name.
We adore you. We trust you. And we worship your holy name, Father God, because we know that it is already done. And if you can receive this and believe this, we're asking you right now to accept it in Jesus' name. And we pray. Amen. Y'all tune in to us next Tuesday. Okay, next Tuesday. We thank y'all. We love you. And if you're going through this, please get in our inbox or text, call us so that we can pray with you and help you. Not just pray with you,
and for you.
Some stuff needs action. Some stuff needs action.
Yeah.
All right. Thank y'all.
Good night, you guys. Love you.
Love you.